listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. She blinded me with scienciness. When comedian Stephen Colbert premiered his famous talk show on Comedy Central, he introduced a new word to the English language. The word was truthiness. Truthiness refers to an idea or claim that may not be factually true, but feels like it should be true, or you want it to be true. The dim-witted fictional character Mr. Colbert intentionally portrayed on his show lived his life and conducted his affairs based on truthiness. The concept of truthiness pokes fun at the very human tendency to arrive at what we want to be true, and to then proceed to seek out evidence to support this position while ignoring any evidence that contradicts it. Mr. Colbert, in character as the clueless but arrogant pundit, would proudly proclaim, "I don't trust facts. I like to go with my gut." It sounds ridiculous when stated like that, but this way of thinking is very human, and all too common. A concept similar to truthiness is scienciness. This is when a claim is made without good evidence, but the person or persons making the claim dress it up in what they perceive, or more importantly, what they hope a mostly scientifically illiterate public will perceive, to be sciency trappings. Scienciness reminds you of science without being science. These trappings can take many forms. The first form is scientific-sounding double talk. One great purveyor of such sciency gibberish is the famed New Age guru Deepak Chopra. Mr. Chopra pushes a particular subspecies of the group of pseudosciences called alternative medicine. He calls his particular flavor of alternative medicine quantum healing. Now, before I finish with Mr. Chopra, let me talk about this word, quantum. Quantum is the latest example of notorious fads in scienciness. Scienciness has been around a long time. A couple of centuries ago, it was popular to cite, for example, magnetism in order to sell your version of pseudoscientific woo-woo. As later legitimate scientific discoveries were made, purveyors of pseudoscience were quick to latch on to newly discovered concepts like mineral crystals, electricity, electromagnetic radiation, X-rays, and so on to lend an air of scienciness to their claims. Perhaps the most popular current form of this is to invoke the word quantum. It sounds so sciency, after all. True quantum theory and mechanics is an utterly fascinating field of physics. I won't take you down that particular rabbit hole with me now, although I'm sorely tempted. Instead, suffice it to say that quantum mechanics uses quite complicated mathematics and is truly strange. Despite being strange and almost impossible to fully understand, the evidence for quantum theory is rock solid. It is simply the case that you need to understand very advanced mathematics to begin to grasp it, something which most of us are neither able nor willing to try. Be that as it may, as I said earlier, quantum theory is strongly supported by rock-solid evidence. As a matter of fact, here's a real-world example and application. The device which you are probably using to listen to this podcast could and would not have been invented or produced without the discoveries of quantum physics. If you want to stretch your brain, you should read up on it. The strangeness and mathematical inaccessibility of quantum physics to the average consumer makes it perfect to use as a tool on scientifically illiterate rubes in order to take their money. Making reference to science that almost no one understands, to explain something that doesn't actually work, is quite brilliant in a twisted way, don't you think? Here is an example of Mr. Chopra's sciency verbal gymnastics. We are each a localized field of energy and information, with cybernetic feedback loops interacting within a non-local field of energy and information. Isn't that great? Virtually devoid of any evidence-based scientific meaning, but it sounds sciency as hell. You must admire the panache with which Mr. Chopra stacks up the bullshit. In addition to sciency double talk, another way that a purveyor of pseudoscientific woo-woo might use scienciness is to employ more physical manifestations of it, like white lab coats, clipboards, pocket protectors, computers, stethoscopes, machines that go bleep and have lots of idiot lights, and so on. Those who are scientifically literate and see such a presentation are likely to recognize it as scienciness, which activates their skeptical spider sense. Those who are not scientifically literate are the people toward whom the scienciness is directed in the first place. One good example of this use of sciency equipment occurs on the ridiculously popular Ghost Hunter TV shows. Let's take a look at some of the equipment this might include. First are the EMF, or electronic field meters, which detect and measure, as you would imagine, electromagnetic fields. Now, human beings do emit an electromagnetic field, but it is so puny and weak that it requires electrodes placed against the skull and an EEG machine to detect it. It is nowhere near strong enough to show up on an EMF detector. Now, why a ghost, which is ostensibly what remains of a dead human, would emit an electromagnetic field stronger than that emitted by a living human is beyond me. But I'm just an ignorant martial artist. Now, there are many possible reasons for the existence of anomalous electromagnetic fields, among which are poorly shielded appliances or wiring, and microwave towers. Another piece of equipment is the digital voice recorder. This is for recording EVP. EVP is a very sciency-sounding acronym for Electronic Voice Phenomenon. That's the name given by some to another species of pseudoscience, that of interpreting all sorts of recorded sounds as being spirit voices. Again, there are many much more plausible explanations for the sounds that many ghost hunters identify as being supernatural in origin. Foremost among them is apophenia. That's the human brain's propensity for finding patterns in chaos. It's apophenia that makes you see a dragon in the clouds, or the Virgin Mary on a piece of toast, or to hear a ghostly voice in the chaos of background noise or static, or, and of great importance for our survival as a species, pick out a camouflaged predator hiding in the underbrush. Ghost hunters also carry thermometers and thermal cameras in order to find what are known as cold spots, which it is claimed constitutes evidence of a ghost. All of these sciency devices are used for what skeptics call anomaly hunting. Anomaly hunting is tied into the logical fallacy called the argument from ignorance. The argument from ignorance essentially states that if you don't have an explanation for a phenomenon, then my explanation, no matter how wacky and unsupported by other evidence, must be correct. This is also another form of the false dichotomy. So if I can use my sciency equipment to find something that doesn't seem to fit, my pet hypothesis, be it the Loch Ness Monster, aliens, Bigfoot, or ghosts, has to be the explanation. Another way that those peddling their pseudoscientific agenda utilize scienciness is to conduct and then quote results from poorly done studies. When you hear phrases like, "our research proves," or "studies show," or many other variations on this theme, you should get a strong, itchy feeling of warning in your skeptical bump. There's no time in today's podcast to describe in depth what makes a study, survey, or any other form of research high quality, low quality, or somewhere in between. I'll cover that in a future podcast. To the scientifically illiterate victim of a peddler of woo-woo, the very words research and study can sound really sciency. In addition to those peddling pseudoscience, some people use scienciness to promote products that are simply fraudulent or that are unsupported by good science. Many purported breakthroughs in nutrition and exercise science fall into this category. The martial arts are not immune to the phenomenon of scienciness. Now, there are definitely scientifically literate martial arts programs and instructors out there. But there are also programs and teachers whose literature and websites are rife with Chopra-esque sciency double talk. Be on your guard. So you may ask me, Jeff, since that is my name, how do I tell the difference between real science and scienciness? The answer is simple. Don't be satisfied with the level of scientific literacy you gained from your schooling. Continue your education. Become fascinated with science. It's fun, and it helps you defend yourself from being taken in by scienciness. The presence of the trappings of scienciness is not evidence for the presence of critical thinking and scientific rigor. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think, or check out old episodes of the podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about The Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.